Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
All right, Rich, we had an angle at the end to set up the Fastlane main event coming up this Sunday. Oh, wait. Is it this Sunday or is it Elimination Chamber? Oh, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about that anymore, do we? Because after WrestleMania, they'll just all be promoting one pay-per-view at a time, so we won't have this confusion. But on a serious note, what did you think in terms of adding anticipation to AJ Styles' title defense coming up?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, the main event, Corbin looked really good, and the post-match stuff was pretty neat, too. But for the most part, to be honest, I really did for a second panic because I was like, wait, crap, which one is on Sunday?
I know. No, I'm joking, but sort of, you know, ribbing on the square in the sense that it felt like the go-home show. You know, like this big angle and you got Styles coming in. And I mean, as I talk, I'm pretty sure Elimination Chamber is this Sunday, but this definitely gave off the vibe of, I'm wondering if even the SmackDown writers knew that it's not this Sunday. It's not, right?
Yeah, I really think they might have forgot too.
Yeah.
And they're like, good show, guys, good show. And then they realize, holy.
We got a couple more weeks to go before we actually, what are we going to do to fill time? So, I mean, they threw a few things out there. They wanted to get AJ Styles and Baron Corbin in there one-on-one in the main event. And you knew that it wasn't just going to be AJ winning clean, and that was the end of the story. Sami and KO, who reunited earlier in the show, Sami said that, in fact, and we'll talk about this, that he's willing to lay down and do the job for Kevin Owens, in so many words, if it comes down to them after they at Fastlane, after they get rid of everybody else. So now they're back to working together, and they worked together here to beat up AJ, but then Baron Corbin gave them each his finisher. So his end of days. As a show-closing angle, I mean, I don't know. This feels sort of paint-by-numbers. I mean, all kidding aside, it was sort of there. I mean, it's a multi-man match, and I don't think that it has any particular focus that is all that compelling. So they're just trying to get you excited about a little bit excited about a lot of things instead of really focused on one key selling point. Do you agree with me kind of on that description of this?
Yeah, but the weird thing to me out of this is I was fully expecting, well, I guess I should say fully hoping, we'd get a gauntlet match like we did on Monday, but instead I was a little let down going into what they did with this multi-man match. Now, if they get it up to 7 people by the time the show comes around,
I might
get a little, you know, thrown off.
Absolutely. Well, let's set the table. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show on Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. We are live right after SmackDown aired on USA Network from Phoenix, Arizona. And later on this show, we're going to have with us Brian Alston, PW Torch VIP member who attended the show. A sparse crowd, it sounds like, from looking at his tweets during the program. We'll compare the live in-person experience for him, comparing Raw last night with that marathon gauntlet match to what was delivered by SmackDown tonight. Another one of those situations where they did back-to-back nights to save on travel and production costs, which is nice, but they took a hit in terms of ticket sales, perhaps relative to what they would have drawn had they moved to another venue for the Tuesday night event. So we'll talk to Brian in the second segment, and then in the final segment, we'll answer your email questions. So if you're listening live and we don't get to your phone call, or you're just not able to talk to us live here on the caller portion of the show, you can email your question or comments to wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. If you want to talk to us here, our phone number is 347-215-8558. That's 347. Now imagine, as I say this, the numbers popping on the screen in big, bright colors in honor of SmackDown. 347-215-8558. Call us, and we'll talk to you later on in the show. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call. And when I say we, that includes my co-host today, and that is the return of Rich Fan, who you can hear Saturdays. Well, you can hear him anytime, but his new show airs live and drops for download Saturday nights. It's called The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. It's part of the 7 days a week PW Torch live cast lineup. And he is on Saturdays. Just search PW Torch in Apple Podcasts, if you haven't yet, and subscribe to the 7 days a week PW Torch Livecast. Rich, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Wade. Always a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to talking about SmackDown tonight.
Excellent. Rich, we are getting feedback that we've had before from your connection. I don't know if there's anything you can do to fix it while we're on the live portion, but when you talk, we are hearing kind of a weird humming noise.
Oh, that is so weird.
Yeah.
Let me... If it's still there,
no, it's better. No,
I would say I can try.
No, it sounds better suddenly, so I don't know what... If you did something, it's better. So, anyway... We'll deal with it.
Okay.
Not that big of a deal. All right. Well, let's do this. There's obviously a number of things we can talk about on today's program. We had a Kevin Owens Dolph Ziggler match, the AJ Styles promo at the beginning with a parade of people. We had my favorite camera angle of all time of Daniel Bryan watching a monitor and at a very normal person angle, and somehow we still knew he was watching TV even though they only showed us the back of the monitor. So I like that. We also had what I believe was the rebuttal to Bruce Mitchell's column last week on New Day, as set up by Corey Graves and rebutted by Byron Saxton, with a little comment also from our lead commentator, Tom Phillips. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. And we also had the tag match with Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Naomi losing to Riot Squad, but then Charlotte challenging Ruby Riott to a title match as champion, challenging the heel to take her on because she wants to get her hands on her. We also had a Bludgeon Brothers squash, and we had the New Day, Biggie and Xavier beating Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. So we'll cover all of that and more as the show progresses. But let's get to some phone calls because we got some people on hold, and we might as well see where our callers lead the initial part of our conversation, Rich.
Sounds like a plan to me, Wade.
Excellent. Let's begin with area code 847. You are up first today. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
This is Dan from Chicago. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for calling, Dan. Are you a first-time caller to this show?
You made me laugh when you said about you were going to give out the number and you had to flash that on the screen. That was pretty funny. That is just getting completely ridiculous. I've been listening.
Oh, go ahead. No, finish your thought. Yeah.
I'm 43 years old, and don't make me, you know, they're just making me feel like a child.
Yeah. I don't read my reports very much, on the air, in terms of what I say about things, but you can, read my full reports at pwtorch.com if you want to follow along during these shows. But regarding that Baron Corbin promo, especially, I wrote, I don't usually associate hate with anything in pro wrestling, as that word is overused, but I'm pretty sure that I hate... that hate is the emotion that I feel when those words pop up on the screen as wrestlers say them. It is so distracting.
It is.
I don't understand what audience they're going for, but yeah, as a 43-year-old, and you're speaking about that, it does feel insulting and
it
distracting
is.
And unnecessary and corny. We can go on and on. And again, I'm imagining these words showing up in big, bright colors on the screen. I can deal. Now you started a rant. Good job, Dave. I can deal with the New Day during their ring entrance because we know that they say this. Go ahead.
Oh, my issue with that is my wife and I were watching SmackDown, and she sees a little kid doing Big E's dance, and she's like, "How disturbing is that little kid with the belt doing the Big E dance?" I'm like, "I can't believe." And she's like, "I can't believe the parents are allowing to do that sexy dance." It was funny.
Yeah, so I can deal with the letters in certain circumstances used really sparingly. But when it's a promo that a wrestler is cutting, not, a pretty well-known ring entrance, and even then it's annoying, and I'd be complaining about it. But it's not like – it doesn't just make me want to, whatever I wanted to do to my TV set when that was happening. It's so frustrating because it feels like they're trying so hard to try something new, and it's just – it's awful. Anyway, Rich, I want you to chime in on this topic before we get back to Dave. Or Dan, excuse me. I keep calling you Dave. Go ahead, Rich.
I personally am not the biggest fan. The biggest reason I'm not a fan of it, besides the obnoxious nature of the blast, it seems to me to be a walking reminder of how closely scripted their promos are.
Yes.
It's like if you go with a friend to a... karaoke bar and you get the little bouncing ball, which I'm sure is next.
Yeah. Oh God. Yes. No,
and
totally.
It's great. Cause if you're in the gorilla, Vince can look or whomever's there, like Road Dogg can look. And it's like, oh yeah, they're hitting every single point. The words are there.
It is. The selfie promos too. I'm just not a fan. I don't like hate it. It doesn't drive me nuts. I sort of, you know, but it feels cheap to me. It's something that TNA would have done when they didn't have a budget to have a camera guy around with a $20,000 camera. And I know they're trying to make the wrestlers relatable, but I don't want wrestlers relatable. I want them to be stars who are above everybody else because they're superstars, not having to cut a promo with one arm holding their camera up like you're at a sporting event, you know, FaceTiming or something. So, yeah, it's just whatever they're trying to do here on SmackDown, it's not making up for everything else that they're not doing well. So,
well, one thing I would say for you on that, Wade, is, yeah, and this is where my, you know, deep dive nerddom goes into movies and not just wrestling. There's a movie coming out in a couple of weeks with Steven Soderbergh. It's called Unsane, and he filmed the entire movie on an iPhone. And that is obviously shot far better than any of these selfies. And I would just send them to see that movie to show them how much if you can do this with an iPhone, imagine what you can do with the technology you guys already own.
Yeah.
You could actually shoot people naturally watching television.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm for brainstorming and trying new things and all that. But I think they need a better filter. You know, it's not. I mean, I think they're just so prideful. They got to stick with it. They can't abandon it right now. But I thought that they were toning down on it like they did the crowd reaction shots that we were ranting about last year, that they overdid. And they're overdoing it with this new idea, this new toy, both the selfie videos and the words flashing on the screen. I'm sure there's some people who don't care and they're like, whatever, get over it. I just want to see wrestling. And I get that. But I think from a business standpoint, you know, Dan, you're conveying what I think a lot of people feel, which is this show doesn't seem like it's meant for me when I see that. And I just think there's a bigger downside than upside. And you have to be careful of that.
I'm waiting for when there's a body slam.
Oh, God.
And you, like,
I'm editing
and
this out.
There's going to be a slam.
I'm editing this out.
Slam is going to be coming on the screen.
No, I'm editing this out. I don't want to give them any more ideas. We already have them responding to Bruce Mitchell's column and commentary. We got Daniel Bryan finally looking at the right angle at a TV. We had people sitting down last week watching, like I said, normal people do when they watch TV. There's all these things that I'm thinking possibly have something to do with somebody listening and throwing out suggestions. Maybe, maybe not. But I'm not going to take the chance.
Right.
Mark for edit. We need to take that out.
That's fine.
Go ahead, Dan.
One of my problems with AJ's, like, couple of promos tonight were, like, crickets. AJ Styles promo with Kevin Owens with the whole Sami Zayn and Lance thing on his back. That made absolutely no sense. When Owen said what, I yelled at my TV like, "What the hell was that?" I mean, no, I get they were trying to say, "Oh, is the monkey off their back?" So somebody scripted that promo thinking that was funny when they should have just said, "Oh, did you get that monkey off your back?" instead of being clever or something.
Yeah, no,
it made no sense.
No, it didn't. I mean, the punchline came and people were like, "Wow, that was the punchline."
I know.
You know, Sammy's a boil on your back. I mean, it's not. And they can do, you know, I mean, we saw really good promos last night on Raw. You know, I mean, this isn't about hating on WWE and being all negative. It's like, as lifelong fans, decades-long fans, you see some good, you see some bad. There's good ideas or bad ideas. There's things that work and are good for business and building an audience, and there's things that just fall flat. And that, yeah, I agree. That joke fell flat. I felt bad for AJ having to deliver it, and Kevin Owens doing his best to sell it. Rich, what was your take on that?
Yeah.
It reminded me of the episode of The Simpsons where they had the guy who impersonates Arnold Schwarzenegger go do stand-up, and then he has to constantly say, "That's the joke." That's what I felt so bad. I am a horrible human being when it comes to awkward moments. Yeah. If I had been in that arena, I would have run to the bathroom. Not because I thought it was bad wrestling or a bad promo, but because it was such a horrid situation to be in. I wouldn't want to be within 50 feet of that ring to see it.
It was uncomfortable. Yeah.
And there was something else tonight, too, that I kind of like hit my head. Like, I shouldn't be hitting my head watching professional wrestling. That should be their job. You know what I mean? I'm like, literally, like, this
that was
like
funnier than what AJ said, and they had all week to come up with a line, Ben.
Yeah, I know. And then just the Bobby Roode stuff. Yeah, that was it. The Bobby Roode and Jinder Mahal garbage. That was horrible.
That was
absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
And it's really bad, too, when, you know, my wife's been watching wrestling with me. We've been together since 2003. And everything, and she's been watching wrestling with me right along. It's pretty bad at the main event where she when Baron Corbin was laying on the ground and they were doing their the spots at the end, and she's like, "Oh, Baron Corbin's gonna come up and save AJ." And sure enough, that's kind of like what happened. And there's probably gonna be a tag team match tomorrow next Tuesday. It's like the same stuff each week. And I told her our viewing habits might have to change on Tuesday nights.
I can't blame you. I mean that Jinder Mahal segment. I mean,
that was horrible.
It was. I wrote this in my report, but I'll reference it here too. Jinder Mahal's speaking style is like when you're required to write a 4-page paper in college, and it's not about word count. They just go, "Oh, just make it 4 pages," and you like triple space because you just don't have anything to say. So like big font, triple space. Like he talks and then he stops, and there's this pause, and then he says another line slowly. And then he pauses. It's like, get on with it. The material's not good enough, even if you zip through it. But that was bad. And then Rude isn't any better. Well, maybe he's a little better. It's hard. It's a low bar. But it was still not good. And then he yells for no reason near the end. It was just, that was a terrible segment. I mean, it's just, there's not a lot of chemistry. There's not a lot of charisma, to be blunt, going on in that segment.
And the Rude Awakening reference?
Oh, yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
We know what that is. We know what that is.
Yeah.
So, but I just want to say I listen to your show every week, every day. I love it. I'm going to get on the bandwagon in WrestleMania season. I'm going to get on the bandwagon for VIP.
Thank you.
So I really appreciate everything you do, Wade.
Thank you, Dan. Really appreciate it. Good talking to you.
All right, have a good one.
Call again. Hope your viewership habits don't change so we can talk to you next Tuesday.
I know, right?
All right.
Exactly. I always say that. My wife's like, you won't change. I'm like, I know.
I know, yes.
Of course I have it.
All right, cool. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet. He mentioned VIP, pwtorch.com/govip. pwtorch.com/govip. If you're interested in getting this show with almost all the ads, plugs, and commercials taken out, I say almost just because like this one might slip by if we forget to edit it out, but all the long plugs, commercials, and all that stuff gets taken out of all 4 shows during the week. The 2 here following Raw and SmackDown early in the week on the Red Brand, and then also the Podcast One shows that air, the Thursday flagship and Interview Friday. Those also, we take out the ads and plugs for VIP members. Plus, there are, 20 other podcasts during the week for VIP members on all kinds of niche topics and specific subjects, including the new Monday ROH Talking Honor podcast, and more stuff coming up that'll be coming up this weekend. And we'll talk more about that as the week progresses here, too. Some new additions to the show, to the lineup. Earlier today, by the way, the PW Torch live cast featured the latest episode of Making the List with Pat McNeil. Bill Behrens, longtime wrestling indie promoter and agent, goes all the way back to recommending to Jerry Jarrett when Jerry was about to start, Jerry and Jeff Jarrett were about to start TNA, NWA TNA Wrestling. He recommended this kid named AJ Styles to Jarrett as a potential centerpiece talent. And I remember talking to Jerry Jarrett back then, and he goes, "Wade, I'm so excited. Went down, scouted talent, and this kid named AJ Styles. He's going to be big. And David Young, too." Those were the two guys he was excited about. AJ's had a little better career than David Young since then. But anyway, Pat and Bill Behrens talk about the 7 biggest omissions from the WWE Hall of Fame. I love that. I love this new list show. It drops every Tuesday night. Search PW Torch PW Torch on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to wrestling podcasts to get the 7 days a week lineup. Rich, this is actually a good chance, since we're in plug zone right now, for you to mention and talk about the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. Talk about your show last Saturday, and if you know what's coming up this Saturday, to get people to sign up and check it out.
Absolutely, Wade. So the Deep Dive is a weekly 1 hour or sometimes 90 minutes, like it was this past week, show where we have fans call in and we talk about one subject and we go as deep as we possibly can in that time. Last week I had Ciara Reed of PW Ponderings and we talked about both the issues regarding Lisa Moretti, aka Ivory's induction in the Hall of Fame, and apparently the double standard that erupted over that, and the Bruce Mitchell article, which talked about the New Day and the pancakes and some of the Jim Crow Little Black Sambo imagery that was evoked to Bruce, and the imbroglio that erupted over Twitter over that. And it was really good. And as I joked at the end, I was glad that the torch could pass the Bechdel test for a few moments as I muted myself and allowed Ciara and one of the people who first confronted Bruce with his article a young woman, and her name escapes me, so forgive me. And her and Ciara talked for a solid 10 minutes and just went tit for tat over the points of and the merits of Bruce's argument. So it's awesome. It's deep. Sometimes it might not be for everyone, but I really appreciate that I've got a loyal listenership, and I'm constantly getting text messages, DMs, tweets saying keep doing it. So we're going to keep doing it. And next week I have a friend of mine, Bray, who she has been on several times, and we're going to be continuing to talk about social issues in pro wrestling and how important it is to not excuse it because it's quote-unquote just pro wrestling.
I don't know what bothers me more, the flashing colorful letters on SmackDown or when people go, it's just pro wrestling. It's like, nah, it's not an excuse for everything. You can't use that as a catch-all to just do anything you want. You can, but it doesn't mean you're not going to get criticized or that it's good for business. So, excellent. So that is, again, I want to stress, that's part of the PW Torch Livecast lineup. If you're not subscribing, it's free to get the 7 days a week Livecast lineup. It's all PW Torch personalities hosting those shows. We've got an NXT-specific show that drops Wednesday nights, an Impact show that airs live right after Impact on Thursday nights, our Best of show, usually related to what's happening on my Interview Friday show on Podcast One, but not always. Sometimes it's tied to a current event in wrestling. But I handpick a best of show from our past and put that up on Fridays. The Deep Dive Saturdays, Greg Parks with Wrestling Night in America, including this Sunday, a live call-in show following the Elimination Chamber as soon as WWE's pay-per-view ends. Greg Parks is on the air, often with a co-host, and taking your calls. And then Monday, it's MMA Talk for pro wrestling fans. And then Tuesday, the aforementioned Pat McNeil making the list, the newest addition to the lineup. So check that out. Search PW Torch and subscribe. Don't miss out. There's a lot of good content. And even if you're not going to listen to all seven shows, certainly there's multiple shows there that are niche topics or specific themes that would be of interest to you. So check that out. By the way, thanks to everybody for making us the number one current events pro wrestling talk show out there. We were behind just the Bruce Pritchard show and the latest Tony Schiavone show hosted by our good friend Conrad Thompson on the iTunes episode rankings for part of today as the top show. We were, I think, right near the top 50 of all sports podcasts today. That is yesterday's Raw show, I should mention. Thank you for finding us here as we split our feed into two separate feeds, the red and the blue brand. Thanks for finding us and sticking with us and helping us stay number one in terms of current events, pro wrestling shows out there in a very busy podcast landscape. We have, speaking of busy, we've got more callers we haven't gotten to yet. We spent a lot of time with Dan, which was a lot of fun. We are lighter on emails and heavier on calls. So if you're on hold, please stay on hold. We're going to cut to a very brief break here on our live stream and then come back and take calls. And so 615-251 and 337, you are up next in that order. So stick with us. All right, we are back. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Rich Fan, and we are taking your calls, talking about tonight's episode of SmackDown. 615, you are up as promised. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade and Rich, this is Kenny from Tennessee. And
I want to talk a little bit about what I think about SmackDown Live. I watched the show, and the more that I've been watching, not just SmackDown, but just, you know, WWE in general, more and more, I kind of compare it more to Saturday Night Live. And I used to watch Saturday Night Live, and then I kind of stopped watching it. The main reason why is because it just seemed like that they will open the show, and I'm talking about it at Saturday Night Live, with basically like a political segment. It's like every episode, new episode, it'll always be about politics. And it basically goes back to the fact that Lorne Michaels has been the producer for so long, he's used to a routine. And that's where I feel WWE is right now. And like, there are times where I feel like they try to be innovative, but then they get used to their comfort and routine of, you know, having guys come out and do a segment and then have another wrestler come out, do a segment. Then you have the GM come out and announce a match out of the blue. And for some reason, though, the second hour, I felt like it got better because it was more in-ring action was the emphasis. And that's how I kind of felt about Saturday Night Live, was like the show actually got better as the show got longer because you got more creative skits. Whereas in the early part of the show, it was kind of more segmented to, oh, we got to have the big stars out in the first segment and so forth. It's the sort of analysis that I have on SmackDown, and I want to get your guys' opinion if you share that or you disagree with that.
For clarification, you're saying that was this week, or you think that's kind of the format typically?
Format typically. in what I compare Saturday Night Live. And it makes sense because Lorne Michaels and Vince McMahon, I mean, they're both kind of around the same age. So I just thought I would bring that analysis, and I don't know if anybody else.
I just wanted that clarification. Yeah, I just wanted that clarification. I got the kind of the rest of the gist of what you're saying. What do you think of Kenny's observation there?
I would say Kenny's point is exacerbated when you think about the fact that Lorne Michaels, also similar to Vince McMahon, bought smaller competition to bolster his talent base when people were complaining at the height of late 90s, early 2000s, that things had gotten stale. So that's a really good point, because he bought the Lonely Island and those guys just completely out, instead of saying, hey, let's just find some good people. So I think in that regard they fit, but I think more or less Vince McMahon also is trying to make sure they make money. So think about, I want to say, 2 years ago when they started using the new camera equipment and some of the new sets, and how they went with different angles on Raw and SmackDown. Once they realized they need to keep the profit margin as high as they could, all those new pieces of equipment camera-wise went away, and they went back to the typical hard cam, shaky cam shots. So I think it's more being cheap than being lazy, though laziness is there, in my opinion.
And I think the reason Kenny sees some more wrestling in the wrestling quality in the second hour, Kenny, if that was your point, is because they set up with talking what the main event is going to be and what another match is going to be. So it's just kind of natural from a format standpoint that the way that they do things, are going to have more talking at the beginning and then more wrestling as the show progresses. I liked Raw last night to change that up, where you open up with a match. It doesn't have to be a match that's over 100 minutes typically, but starting off with a promo and then getting right into a match after that promo that is a significant match is not unheard of for Raw, but I like that format too, where you don't end up where 1 hour feels all that different than the next hour, or the first half feels a lot different than the second half. But I'm not sure that I don't think that there's necessarily a right way or wrong way to do it in terms of how to weight the show, in terms of weighing the wrestling versus the talking. But I think the key is make sure that you shake it up so that it doesn't feel just like a formula that you're just pouring things into buckets, and the buckets are all in the same order every week. Here's a talking segment, then a wrestling, then a big wrestling match, then a not-so-big wrestling match, and then another like, don't have it just be formulaic. And I think that's one of the refreshing things about last night's show.
Yeah, I've got one more quick thing, and I do agree with you what you said, because, after seeing the Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler match, to kind of open up compared to the classic that we had yesterday was kind of, it's hard to let down on that. But I want to get your opinion. You just mentioned Jeff Jarrett. I am from Tennessee, and I am glad that he's going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. It's like a long time coming, and this goes to show that, hey, anything can happen. Well, it used to be the World Wrestling Federation back in Jeff Jarrett's early days. But one of the things that I was thinking about more and more is that, after WrestleMania, my gut feeling is that we might see a change in the general manager's position at some level. We may see sort of a shakeup either on Raw and SmackDown. And I want to get your guys' take on, do you think, is it possible that Jeff Jarrett can maybe slide into that role, knowing that he has past history? After all, he was the one who founded TNA and ran TNA Impact for a long time. And I want to get your guys' opinion on that. And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it. Yeah, so tonight, Rich, we had a little bit of bickering with Shane and Brian. It felt a little scripted and orchestrated and stiff and awkward. Brian just saying, hey, you brought me in, but every decision that I make, you seem to override it. Shane saying, I'm just overruling you on your emotion-based decisions. And if they were, more sensible, I wouldn't have to do that. So that bickering continues. It does seem I hope it's headed towards something, but, some sort of resolution or change in scenery. It's hard to imagine they do all this and then just have it dissipate with no payoff. But I'm not sure that I want Jeff Jarrett to be a authority figure. And I'm not sure politically that's what he's being brought back for. I don't think Jeff was ever seen by Vince McMahon as a great talker. He was a good talker, but not a great talker. The double J thing was fun, but it was kind of gimmicky. And I don't think they see him as a big enough star to be someone that they would want to be like a new, you know, a new authority figure working under Shane McMahon. So I wouldn't endorse it. I don't think Jeff would be great at it. I think he'd be just average at it. And I don't think that Vince sees him that way. Rich, how about you?
I am very, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, Wade, but I feel like in the darkest recesses of my mind, at some point in November, we're going to be talking, or you're going to be on with Bruce, asking how in God's name did we not see Dixie Carter and Jeff Jarrett running SmackDown being a thing?
I hope not.
I really
Well, you brought it up, like, so now we can we can go back to February 20th and say Richie called it.
It's just because to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you look at Shane and he's the McMahon of the group that they want to put the least light on while still having him on TV. Obviously, Linda doesn't count right now. And then you have Daniel Bryan, who may or may not decide to leave once his contract's up. So they're kind of holding water. So these are the two least likely people they want to ever put in a position that gets too much shine away from, say, Stephanie and the Ronda Rousey decision and all that fun stuff. So I'm just the conspiracy theorist that I am, waiting for SmackDown to get, especially with Road Dogg as the lead writer, Jeff Jarrett and Dixie Carter as the fun bunch that keeps it active, and you know, they could sell the television people, look what we did. We got TNA and these guys, and we could talk about all this inside baseball stuff on television, and look how wild we are.
I don't know where Dixie, honestly, I don't think Dixie fits in when you have Stephanie, who wants to be the female representative authority figure. And I don't think they see Dixie as a big enough name based on the ratings that TNA drew and the opposite of momentum that they had in the past few years that she was a character. I just don't think that they see her as a big enough name or a strong enough performer, although I think Dixie's fine in that role. But I don't think they see her as like this standout, you know, Vicky Guerrero. You just, when you say Vicky, you know what she's all about. With Dixie, it's just sort of like an older version of Stephanie, the daughter of somebody who's really rich, who has a good presence and a good charisma and carries herself with authority. I don't know. I think there's too much overlapping. And I just don't think Dixie's a big enough name to do it, nor do I think Jeff is. I would be, if it happens and we're talking about it in November, I'll be like, yeah, I didn't see it coming because I didn't think they would do it. And I don't think it was a good idea.
Fair enough.
All right. I
just look at her as someone that Stephanie can show up and say all those things you just said, but on television, and the McMahons get a perverse pleasure out of doing that.
Well, I guess if Vince wants, yeah, I don't even want to go there. All right, let's go to 251 next. 251, thanks for holding. State your name and where you're calling from. 251.
This is Kenny from Mobile, Alabama.
Hey, Kenny, what have you got for us?
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but did Shinsuke wrestle at all tonight?
Well, if you count highlights of wrestling moves in a video, then he did.
Yeah, so what do you think the deal is with him being off TV right now? I mean, I know they got plenty of time to build him up for a WrestleMania, but it's just kind of odd not to see him wrestle on television.
Rich, how do you feel about that? Do you put someone on TV just to keep him in the public eye? Or do you take him off TV to let the heart, you know, absence make the heart grow fonder? They don't have a lot for him. Sometimes, you know, like with Asuka on Raw last night, you can put somebody on TV and just for the sake of putting them on TV, and you put them in a position where they get exposed. They're not, it's not their strength. And then they get damaged. And you know, Kenny said there is plenty of time for Shinsuke after Fastlane and before WrestleMania to kind of heat that feud up. Should they be... It's sort of a false choice. Do you want them to screw up Shinsuke Nakamura by having him on TV, or not utilize him well by having him off TV? It's like, well, there's a third choice. You could try to have him on TV and do something good with him. But how would you be handling it? How do you evaluate what they are doing?
Well, I think what they're doing is a lot better than what they do with Brock Lesnar. A lot of times it's out of sight, out of mind with Brock. Mm-hmm. So having Shinsuke off TV but still having promos for him and still highlighting the fact that at the end of the day, all of this is the winner faces Shinsuke more than Shinsuke faces the winner. I think that's pretty good. On the other hand, I would like to hear or see him a little bit more, even if it's something akin to what they're doing with the Bludgeon Brothers, mm-hmm. and he's beating local talent just to kind of remind you how dangerous he is.
That's what I was thinking, is maybe just put Shinsuke out there in a situation where you get to show off what he's known for and good for and have a little sidebar feud, you know, that distracts him. And it's a story, you know, I don't know, let's say Ty Dillinger turned heel and got, you know, started telling, just being delusional and in an irritant. And they just put Shinsuke against Ty, and they had a couple matches on TV to fill some time. And the announcers talked about, you know, should Shinsuke be focused on WrestleMania, or is this good to keep him sharp? I mean, it can be Mojo Rawley. It might make more sense. You know, just have him out there and just kind of this time-filling feud and use that to talk about him and winning the Rumble. I thought the video tonight was fine. It was not up to the level of Asuka's video that they aired on Raw last week. But, I mean, it's not out of sight in that sense. After watching Asuka last night, just in a terrible situation on that promo with the crowd, they weren't turning against her, but they weren't really with her either. It just sort of was awkward. I don't want them to just put Shinsuke on the air just for the sake of putting him on the air.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's for me, less is more right now. Yeah. And with them still on the split schedule, the less they ruin Shinsuke, the better it is for us all.
I second that. All right, let's. Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it. I want to sneak in one more call before I go to Brian, who's on site in Phoenix. Go ahead, 337. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hello, this is Brad Burrell calling from Louisiana.
Hey, Brad, thanks for calling.
From Louisiana.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, Kenny stole my question, but if I'm not mistaken, Shinsuke wasn't on TV last week either, right?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess what I was thinking, wouldn't it have been a good idea to kind of do what y'all were saying, get people to see what we as fans know what Shinsuke can do, get the more casual fans to see that? I would have had him like kind of being a little bit closer to AJ's side during this whole Sammy and Kevin Owens thing, and have him have a showcase match with Sammy at Fastlane and let AJ and Owens have the title match, and the winner of that, you know, face Shinsuke and Mania. That way we can not have AJ and Sammy and Owens all in the ring at the same time for the fifth time.
Sure. Go ahead, Rich. You take that first. What do you think?
Well, I feel like right now the best thing for Sammy is if he's in this multi-person match, he doesn't have to eat the pen Dolph Ziggler can. If he's with Shinsuke, he's going to have to lose and lose cleanly. And this is now his best shot at being in a main event, doing all the other stuff. He mentioned it. Art is imitating life on screen, where he talks about it. I would rather him be in that multi-man match where he's a little protected, which sounds counterintuitive to most of the time how I would react to WWE multi-man matches. But him just eating a pen for a month against Shinsuke is something I'd rather, like Wade suggested, put in Ty Dillinger as a heel, or, you know, give him tackling dummy for the next 4 years, Dolph Ziggler. You know, to me, that makes more sense than feeding him Sammy.
We talked about dead crowd responses for the joke that AJ said about the Lansing the boil, and the whole rude gender exchange over the top 10 list, which, I mean, I can't believe they did a fake top 10 list, and the joke, I don't call it a joke, but the hook was Rude made himself number one, and Jinder complained that he broke the rule, you can't vote for himself, and I mean, that was it. And Jinder turned that into like 3 minutes. It was awful. So there's all these, you know, all these things. But one of the, I think, right on that list of things that didn't go well is the announcement. It's going to be Dolph Ziggler. And the screeching noise happens, you know, the record screech. And then there's, you know, Shane announces it, and then there's silence. And then Ziggler comes out, and then there's more silence. It was embarrassing. Like, there's people just don't have an emotion with Ziggler. All this TV time invested in him whining and yelling and complaining about, I'm the best and nobody can match me in the ring, and I don't like these fancy entrances, and that's why everybody gets more attention than I do. And now Ziggler comes back, he gets this privileged treatment of being one match away from a pay-per-view main event after he quit the company and left for 7 weeks, never explained why he left, what he did, and why he's back. And so they take the one thing he had as his gimmick away from him, which is he never gets a break because he doesn't have a cool ring entrance or something like that. I don't even know. And then he comes out, and it's and he's been gone for 2 months, and here he is in Phoenix, and zero response. I mean, it's just it's got to be deflating for him, because at some point you just got to go, I suck at this. I have no idea. Or whoever's writing for him, you know, like they don't know how to get somebody over as talented as Dolph Ziggler. I mean, if you can't figure something out with all the swings and misses that they've had with Dolph, at some point you want to hit like a single, and they haven't hit a single with him, much less a double or triple in years. And that crowd response was really telling, Rich. I mean, just what they've done with Ziggler has not worked. And he's, I mean, tackling dummy is almost would be an upgrade from his current character.
I think looking at Dolph, the first thing I thought when he ate that super kick, and that's why I thought of the tackling dummy analogy. That was the best thing about the entire time I saw him on television today.
Yeah.
The timing and the placement of his body when yep. someone else did a move. Yeah. And a lot of times, and we've talked about this a lot, you've talked about this, you've written about it a lot over the years, WWE has a really good ability that when they see you a certain way, they wanna make darn sure the fans can see you that way. And I think we finally reached that apex of how he's seen in the back versus how he's seen in public.
Yes.
And it's you can't – it's disgusting. And I personally, I mean, I don't want to – you know, kind of like when Bruce mentioned what he did with the New Day and people kind of flipped out. If I were Dolph Ziggler, I would find something better to do with my time.
I mean, if they're paying him well and he's not over, then the joke's on management and the, I guess, stockholders for overpaying somebody that they don't know how to, you know, promote. You know, when he's make if he can make good money and not get a crowd response, I mean, I guess in a way more power to him. But that doesn't mean that I don't think that he should be criticized for not figuring out and speaking up how to get himself over. You know, I don't know about his look, his hair, that T-shirt with the suit jacket. Like, I'm not a you know, fashion expert by any means, but I don't think Ziggler's ever found a look where I thought, you know, oh, this identifies who he is, and it does so in a way that doesn't hinder his character. Like, I just think he's kind of, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an accurate way that doesn't sound like a cheap shot, but I think he's lost. You know, I just don't think he knows who he is, or who he is isn't particularly marketable, but that's where it's up to the creative team and Vince McMahon and management to figure something out, and they just haven't done it, and it's a shame, because there is a lot of talent there, and I think with the right, I mean, I think Paul Heyman could work with him and figure something out. You know, there should be people out there who could figure something out for him, and it's painful. It's just painful to watch what he's become. But then when he wrestles, you know, it's a good match, but you don't feel like it's part of a journey that's leading anywhere different than where he's been.
If you take a look, and I know most of our listeners do this, if you look at NXT and the short time he's been in the WWE, Johnny Gargano is a better Shawn Michaels than Dolph Ziggler ever has been.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep.
It's uncanny. Yes. I mean, take away the match against Almas. He is just every single bit of what Dolph – but Dolph has, as you usually would say, he's too much by half with everything in his life.
Yeah.
I have – you know, I could hear him with my wife now in the other room getting ready for bed. My son, Dolph Ziggler, is the manifestation of a kindergartner that you get tired of telling them don't wear your underwear outside your pants going to school, and you're just like, wear what you want. I'm too yes. tired to fight with you. Uh-huh. I just got to – And that's what he wore them down. But in doing so, that's the worst possible thing you could have done, because now no one cares. Yeah. No one cares enough to grab you to the side and say, hey, Dolph, he's at the point, I think, coaching wise, where no one tells him not to oversell.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And it is. I actually am kind of to the point of pity when I watch him. I just sort of pity the whole situation. And he's taken up a roster spot. And there's so many guys out there who I think have a better idea of how to tap into today's audience and have a meaningful role. And I would have liked to have seen him go out there and work indies and work Japan and learn, you know, and come back a better talent like Cody Rhodes might. And
that's actually, Wade, one of my deep dives probably coming up in April. Once I saw he re-signed,
yeah.
The road taken and the road less taken between mm-hmm. those two guys, and it's becoming clearer. And I don't want to make a personal, you know, because I don't know the man from Adam, but you can tell that the things that bugged Cody bugged Dolph, and Dolph was okay with staying despite them.
Yep.
And that's that. Everything from here, he signed up for.
Well put. All right, we're going to go to our break here. And when we come back, we'll talk to Brian Alston again, who was at Raw last night and SmackDown tonight. We'll hear if those seats filled in at all from when he tweeted the what looked like it was practically going to be an empty arena match tonight. Thanks to our callers and those who joined us on the live stream right after SmackDown. And those of you who downloaded the show, stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this. All right, we're back, and it's time to talk to our on-site correspondent, Brian Alston, again, a PW Torch VIP member. For what are we at, 27 years, Brian?
I just passed 27 years, and yes, I am the senior PW Torch subscriber.
Yes, well, thank you again. I really appreciate it. Let's talk about how tonight – Rich Fan is still with me, of course. Brian, let's talk about how tonight compared to last night – from a fan experience. Did you end up with seats in the same spot? I know you talked about your tickets last night.
Actually, I did not. I moved a little bit. First of all, and Rich, how are you doing? And I hope we both have a real good night. So what I did was I moved over roughly a section over. So last time, if the hard camera was looking directly at me, I would have been to the right of the hard camera. Today, I was to the left of the hard camera. So I roughly the same row or same row, but it's just moved over to another. Just moved over to the next section. That's what I did for this these tickets.
Yeah. Today. So talk about how the experience compared, and start by talking about if the seats filled in compared to your Twitter picks.
The seats were the same. With this, with where my seats were tonight, I can where the entrance is where Gorilla is. I can kind of see a little bit of it. The angle I can look at, I can see barely a little bit of it. But other than that, I mean, I like both sets of seats. I would sit in either one. They both are really nice.
And as far as the buzz and energy level in the building, how do they compare? And to talk about the relative crowds.
So I did hear a little bit about what you and Rich were talking about, Wade, and it was very low. I sent you a picture. You and Bruce a picture. Bruce Mitchell, I should say. You sent you and Bruce Mitchell a picture. And yesterday, I sent you a picture yesterday as well, where there was like some seats that were tarped off right around the hard camera, but to the left and the right of the hard camera, all the seats there were sold or selling, or they were on sale and they were pretty full. Tonight, the left of the hard camera, all that was tarped off. To the right, where they actually had people who could sit, that area was started filling up as we got a little closer towards the middle to the end of the evening, but it was still not as well attended as it was yesterday. And also I mentioned on the hard cameras or looking at or the hard camera would be looking at that upper level was all sold. Or today that all part was all tarped off. So
yeah. Was it like half the crowd? Was it like half the size or 20% less? Like, I mean, percentage wise.
Okay. Percentage wise, I'll say 25 to 30% less.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, cause the floor seats and everything like that was all, you know, really well attended.
And was there a match before the SmackDown show started airing on USA Network?
Rusev and Aiden English versus the Usos, and the Usos won. Speaking of that, way, since you mentioned it, I didn't mention this yesterday. So yesterday I wore Nia Jax, Nia Jax t-shirt.
Bruce Mitchell rubbing off on you there.
Remember, it's her eyes. That's the way to...
Yes.
I was going to say we should ask Wade about how do you say Aaliyah, Wade?
Aaliyah.
Yeah, thanks. Like, you like her knee, so Lee. You like her knee, so there you go.
Don't confuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to be serious, so I wore Nia Jax t-shirt yesterday, and today I wore Happy Rusev Day t-shirt. And by the way, to digress a little bit more, so the first Rusev Day was actually here in Phoenix on September 26th, was the actual first Rusev Day. And when you asked me that, and I was your correspondent for that one, Wade, when SmackDown came, and you asked me what would be the thing I would think most about that experience of having SmackDown, and I was like, oh, it would be Rusev Day. And now look at the phenomena it is.
Yeah.
Well, what you're saying is, Brian, that you brought Rusev Day the life it needed.
Well, I added a little spark to it, yes.
So, Brian, what kind of response did Rusev get? I assume as the first babyface, I'll call him that, of the evening, he got a pretty good pop.
He did, and, you know, when the music first hit and Aiden English came out and sang, it, you know, he was well received. And then, of course, when Rusev came out, you know, a lot of Rusev days. But then Usos, of course, being let's say faces, they got the majority of the cheers. But you know, there was a lot of Rusev Day, Rusev Day things. So while the Usos, I would say, they would have been 51% to 49% being cheers.
And I assume some people were cheering Rusev and cheering the Usos. I mean, it was basically a babyface matchup. I don't think fans necessarily had to choose sides in that situation.
It it would have been just and. You know, Aiden English, I'm not sure, what to actually categorize him, babyface by friendship-wise. But, yeah, it was treated like that. It wasn't like a whole lot of dirty tactics or anything. So, but I would say, again, 51% were, if you had it to rank it, it would got a little bit more cheers than Rusev did.
All right. Rich, let me ask this. Did they advertise a dark match, and did it happen yet, or are they still doing 205 Live as we're talking to you?
We're still doing 205 Live, Gentleman Jack versus Mustafa Ali. And I've heard the music kick off. You have to say that the match is over. The advertised main event was AJ versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Hard to imagine that'll happen.
On TV. Yeah, that was on TV. Announced all up. And even I think it was even yesterday on TV. On Raw, they announced it. And then today they announced that it is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens teaming together against Shinsuke. I heard you talking about Shinsuke a little bit earlier, and Orton. But I think that part might change a little bit, too. I'm not sure Orton's going to do it. Orton, by the way, when he left, after the whole Bobby Roode and gender thing, he raised his hand up, and people cheered as he was walking up the stage. I know that didn't make TV. To me, it was kind of like his, okay, hey, I'm leaving for the night. Have a good night, everybody cheering.
So they announced the Sami KO Shinsuke Orton match to the crowd tonight or otherwise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I would think they would go through with that match then, since they announced it tonight to keep the fans in the building.
Yes.
Did the crowd stick around for Mixed Match Challenge of 205 Live? Describe the atmosphere once SmackDown went off the air.
Yeah, as soon as SmackDown went off the air, a few people did leave, but I would say still it was 85% was still there. Once mixed match challenge was over, maybe another 20% left. So there's still a lot of people in there. I can't say I'm surprised necessarily, but it is kind of okay. Wow, some people stayed around, and there's not like a huge exodus leaving now. Again, this should be the last match. I'm sure. Ali versus Gallagher, and then the last 205 Live match. But there's still a lot of people in here.
How did the crowd respond to the Mixed Match Challenge match and each of the wrestlers involved?
They were kind of or meh. I guess that's probably like a Bruce thing. But Nia and for Titus Brand, and then of course, even though it was Bobby Roode's and Charlotte's second time coming out, we talked about that last night. You say it a lot. Wait about coming out twice. The second pop is not going to be, of course, as much, but they both were really well. They both were really well received, being Bobby and Charlotte, and again with Nia and Titus Worldwide, they were just kind of. We were just all kind of, eh, okay, they're out there. So the match overall, though, the crowd stayed with it for the most part. But again, this crowd to me was a lot more muted than it was just yesterday from Raw.
Yeah, well, I believe that. Rich, do you have a question for Brian?
Well, from where you were sitting, Brian, did you see if they had any of the, I guess, older, new equipment, like the camera that's attached to the ring rather than the moving giant jib? And if so, did they use it? Because I know SmackDown was using it specifically when they first started it when I was in Pittsburgh and I saw them. But I had an inkling that they stopped using them, and I wanted to just confirm that.
I didn't see it, and I'm going to say that I wasn't looking for it, but I can pretty much say that I didn't see it. And I know, like, cause I remember the camera shots that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it at all. So, no, it wasn't there.
I wonder if
that,
they
by the way, guys. I'm sorry, Rich. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I just imagine there's a WWE warehouse, like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they have all this stuff just locked away, and they're not going to use it until it's financially either feasible or they can hide how much they spent to use.
Well, I actually remember Seth burned it all down for the video game, so they actually
Good
doesn't
point.
Exist anymore.
They probably got the insurance money, so that is pretty smart.
There you go. So speaking of that, you know, so the rings are like where the ring apron is. You know, a lot of time they have like a light up scoreboard around there for both Raw and SmackDown. This time they didn't have it. So I'm interested to see if they have it during, maybe it's like if it's just a pay-per-view thing now that they bring that with the pay-per-view package. But I remember, you know, over the last, you know, weeks or months, they actually had that on Raw and SmackDown to lit up ring aprons, or the LED ring aprons, I should say.
Well, let's go ahead, Rich, if you got a follow up.
Oh no, I was just going to say that's really good. I'm going to make it a point now, Brian, to look for that, because if they're starting to go cheap on that too, that wow, that's a lot of stuff that they came up with that they're just not going to use. The day that they get rid of Naomi's light up shoes is the day they'll, you know, get my fist raised toward the sky.
She had a lot of energy tonight. It was really good how she came out. And speaking of that, another thing I want to talk about, Wade, because I know you like to hear about things like this, and you too as well, Rich, is merchandise. So last night, the only SmackDown person merchandise at Raw was AJ. So AJ was the only one that had, you know, T-shirt, hat, had his gloves and everything. Tonight, the only, I'd say, but you can't really call it Raw, really, but so Cena and Ronda, they had shirt. Everyone's seen Cena has hats and everything, but Ronda Rousey also had a T-shirt there. But other than that, it was, oh, I'm sorry, and Shield, too. There were not the generic, but the Shield starts with all three of their fists out. So that was the only Raw merchandise that was here tonight. It was just really the Shield. You know, John Cena, I know he's a free agent, and then Ronda, you know, she's signing with Raw. So that was the only Raw merch here tonight. But again, last night, the only SmackDown was AJ stuff.
That's interesting why they don't just, I mean, with so much blending of the two brands in other ways, why they are sort of specific about merchandise applying to just the wrestlers who are on the brand that's appearing. I would think, I mean, it just seems like there's people who go to SmackDown who would still like to buy a Roman Reigns or John Cena or, you know, whatever, a T-shirt of somebody from Raw and vice versa. It seems a little odd to me, but that's how they do it. And then you can kind of tell who's the favored one based on who gets to cross over to the other brand.
And no Brock T-shirts last night either, by the way.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, clock is ticking.
Last thing I'll talk about merchandise is that both last night and tonight saw very few Bullet Club or Young Bucks. The reason why I'm reminded is because the guy just walked by me. He was wearing and I'm not a New Japan guy or a Bullet Club guy, but he had a Kenny Omega, Alpha Omega cross-out shirt with Jericho on it. That's what made me remind me of it. But like even last night or tonight, I saw very few, maybe five at the most, Bullet Club stuff.
All right, so we talked earlier in the show about how we felt there were some just moments that just died as a TV viewer. The Jinder Mahal promo, Bobby Roode coming out to respond to the lame top 10 list that Jinder introduced that was Roode's list, apparently. Also, AJ's joke about lancing a boil, and Dolph Ziggler's ring entrance when the music screeched and there was just close to dead silence. Do you agree with those from being in the building, Brian? And do you have any to add or any insight to add from being there?
I'm really interested in watching this back, Wade, because it seemed to me everything was dialed down lower from yesterday. I had some kids in my area that was maybe, again, 7, 8, 9, who were just yelling for every baby face. So they were like, you know, I mean, it's all figure of baby face. They were like, Dolph, Dolph, Dolph. And this one kid to me was the greatest kid because that's all he was doing was just yelling for every baby face. But yeah, I mean, just the way it came off TV was the way it was here. You know, like you said, the Lance Boyle and Jinder thing didn't go very well. And then Dolph is going to be Dolph. And I was listening in to you and Rich briefly when you were talking about all of our frustrations with Dolph's character. So what you heard on TV was pretty much what we have here. To me, again, the entire night has been just muted or, you know, last night was a 10, this one's like a 5.
Was there anyone who jumped out as waking the crowd up and hitting on the higher end of what the crowd energy was tonight? Who got, it seemed like AJ, when he first came out, you described Rusev maybe having somebody, who was in there with AJ and Orton, I assume? Was Charlotte in the mix also? Talk about that aspect.
Good point. So AJ was, for when he came out the first time, and then also when he came out for his match, all a ton of energy for him. For all three ladies, Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Charlotte, all were, you know, got really good pops. Other than that, Oh, and then, like you said, Orton is going to get his I am Randy Orton, I've been around, you know, and not to poo-poo that, you know, because he is, you know, he is what he is. But he got his also a big reaction as well. But other than that, it was on the main show, I'd say that was really that stood out to me.
Rich, do you have anything else for Brian?
No, I think that was it.
Brian, anything else that you want to share with us from your experience there? I think we kind of hit the main points that I had jotted down in my notes here.
I think I don't have anything else, and so I'll let you go, and you can hopefully answer a lot more emails. But I should have said this earlier in the call. I said it late in the call yesterday. But again, you mentioned 27 years. I don't ever regret a day of it. It's always been a great ride. Reading the newsletter, and then starting to hear all the audio, and then interacting with yourself like this. I really appreciate all the hard work that you do, Wade. And then Rich and I, we're members of each other's fan club. Rich knows how much I respect all the things he does. And like I mentioned, I did hype the deep dive yesterday, Rich. And
I appreciate that.
Well, hopefully I'll be back. Hopefully I'll be on soon. And I have the topic I want to talk about to foreshadow it is I want to talk about some belts. And or at least one particular belt, which of course is always interesting to see people. And Mustafa Ali's music is hit, so he must have won his match, or he obviously won his match. It's interesting to see people around here walking around with belts, and walking around on their shoulder, and really like looking at them like they're their children. And I remember when I told you this way, I remember having like a cardboard belt I used to bash my brother over the head with because we'd watch him do everything he saw on TV. But, the thing about having the way belts are now, when I was a kid, would have just been, my mind would be blown.
Brian. Oh, go ahead, Rich.
That's great. Yeah. I was just going to say real quick, to that point, Brian, we definitely have to do a deep dive chat on that. But I've held a belt 3 times in my life. The Colorado Kid, Mike Rapata, when he had the NWA title. When Okada came to Philadelphia, and I didn't even take a picture of it, but. Got to hold the IWGP, which was probably the coolest. And then a replica WWE Winged Eagle when Bret Hart came to like a autograph signing in Pittsburgh, I think. But that's it. Like, I've never had the interest to buy one.
I had a chance to almost hold an NWA belt, but I didn't want to touch it because until I actually earn it, and actually win it. I want to make sure I just actually didn't want to touch it. So,
hey, any man with 2 hands is a fighting chance.
That's true. I hope you both have a real good night. And again, Wade, thanks a lot, Rich. Have a real good night. And then good night to all the listeners as well.
Thank you, Brian. Really appreciate it. We will come back right after this, and we will answer some email questions, including we'll start off with Rusev Day. We've got a question about Rusev that I want to talk about. All right, we are back for the final segment here of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. Don't forget, you got to sign up for both streams, the red brand and the blue brand, both of them available free in Apple Podcasts. Just search Wade Keller. This is the second of the 2 shows per week earlier in the week with the red logo. Then you got to flip over to blue one for the Thursday flagship, which will feature Sean Radican this week. We're going to talk WWE and a lot of non-WWE topics, ROH streaming, New Japan. We'll talk about Ziggler and Cody, I hope, and whether Ziggler made the right or wrong choice. And what if they flip places? How would Ziggler be doing out there with the career path that Cody is on? That'd be an interesting topic for Sean Radican and more. So if you've got questions for the flagship show, we'll be recording it on Wednesday afternoon. So you got to send it in right away if you're hearing this show shortly after we make it available for download. Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. Don't forget, too, you can support us when you shop Amazon. Go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Anytime you're about to shop at Amazon, and you'll see a big logo on that page, an Amazon logo. Just click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were headed anyway. But everything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. So it's a short extra step that you can take to throw a few quarters or a few bucks in the tip jar, essentially. We thank those of you who are doing it and encourage all of you to do so. So when you're thinking of going to Amazon.com instead, go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. If you want to be a future correspondent like Brian Alston was this week, send an email to wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. That's Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. in the subject line, put the date and the city of the event you're attending, and I may be in touch, and we'll line up an appearance on the show so you can tell us about your in-person experience. Brian Elston made reference to the Pro Wrestling Torture newsletter. He started out as a subscriber back in the day before there were podcasts, before podcasts were even a twinkle in their father's eye. Brian Elston was getting the paper copy print newsletter. I think a WWE writer scripted that line. But anyway, the paper copy is still available. If you are interested in breaking away from screen time and reading the paper copy of the Pro Wrestling Torture newsletter, there's a ton of exclusive content every week in the 12-page newsletter, including my reports on Raw and SmackDown, columns from Greg Parks this week, Pat McNeil back in the pages of the Pro Wrestling Torture newsletter, Greg recapping and reviewing and analyzing the new Brian Pillman biography, and Pat McNeil talking about corporate wrestling and how WWE has become so corporate and what could be next, and much more. So check it out. You can get details on what comes in a paper copy edition with home delivery at pwtorch.com/paper copy. You can sign up online and within a few days start getting weekly delivery of the paper copy. So check that out. I don't plug it very often. I should probably more often. pwtorch.com/paper copy to get full details on that part of what we offer. Rich Van is still with me, and we are talking about tonight's episode of SmackDown. And I want to begin with a question about Rusev. And this is Jorge from Miami. He says, go VIP, everybody. Am I the only one who noticed that there was no Rusev this week? I guess Vince really hates it when wrestlers get themselves over. Rich, you know, we talk about Shinsuke, and I was going to bring it up then, and I wanted to save it because I saw we got an email on it here. You know, Shinsuke having time off because they didn't have anything for him. At this point, I guess I'm happier with them not having Rusev on TV than ruining him on television. But that's a false choice. There's a third choice. Rusev is so much more over than almost anybody else on SmackDown right now. And SmackDown is struggling. Do you, if you're Vince McMahon and Brian James, do you change plans because Rusev got over? Or do you think you kind of default to their experience where they're like, yeah, he's over, but it's more a Fandango over. It's kind of a faddish thing. And we want to kind of hold steady, not screw it up, but not, you know, just kind of keep him around until after WrestleMania. And then hopefully then they try to take advantage of it. If that's the plan, is that prudent or dangerous to not strike while the iron is hot?
It's funny you mentioned that, Wade. I've been struck by a comment that I think it's Jericho constantly makes where he talks about he was in Gorilla with Vince and Steve Blackman came out and he had this huge pop. But he's like, yeah, I really hope one day he gets over. And and to me, every time I hear Jericho tell that story, I know he's trying to sell it as, well, Vince saw the guy might be popular now, but his job is to get himself over. And I can't disagree more with that. If you're in the business to make money and you run the company, it's your job to make sure if you're hearing things, it's like football. You talk, you know, if the Minnesota Vikings figure out that Case Keenum's really good at throwing slants, why are you going to try to throw seams? Just keep throwing slants until they can't cover them anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel it's the same way with Rusev. It started with Rusev Day. It started with the fans responding to his skits with just that background. And then even when he was doing the silly mixed match challenge and came up with the Lana is the best, Lana number one song, he's the best parts of Big E without as much of the goofiness.
Yes, I agree. And my inclination would be, especially given the condition of SmackDown right now, just shake things up. Just find a way to get him in a meaningful feud on SmackDown on television, get him in the plans for Fastlane as a babyface, and get him on WrestleMania where he's stronger because he is a star at WrestleMania. And you feature somebody who's over, who feels like, you know, this, I mean, it happened to different levels. It happened to Rick Steiner back right around the time, I don't know, circa 89 when Dusty was booking. It was like, hey, there's something happening here with Rick Steiner. Let's go with him. And it was unexpected. And there are all kinds of reasons it didn't end up happening. But in retrospect, probably smart of them not to do it, but in other ways, what if they did? And we like Kofi Kingston with that moment with Randy Orton at MSG. What if they just went with it? Daniel Bryan, what if they didn't fight it and fight it and fight it and went with it a year earlier than they planned to before Bryan's injuries and issues caught up with the health issues caught up with him? And you have Stone Cold Steve Austin. What if Vince just listened to his pops and said, yeah, but what can we do with a guy? I know fans like him, but I mean, he doesn't fit my formula. And that's not what's in the plans. I think as a promoter, you got to have your ears open and be nimble enough when somebody gets over like Rusev. It isn't something that happens once a year. You know, this is every, you know, 3 to 7 years, something like this happens. And when it does, there's money to be made. It's a printing press. You change plans and you adjust and you go with it. I mean, the Sammy KO thing is so played out with AJ and Shane and Brian, and it just feels stretched so thin. I just feel like Rusev in a feud as a babyface against Kevin Owens right now would be tremendous. I think people would be tuning into SmackDown to see those two go back and forth on the mic. You can pick other ones out, but to me, I just think KO and let Sammy do something with AJ off to the side or whatever, but I'm frustrated. I followed wrestling long enough and watched it long enough. When something like Rusev happens, where fans are just naturally reacting to him so positively and connecting with him, to let that just be ignored is frustrating, and it just feels like a lost opportunity that's at risk of kind of fizzling out by the time we get to late April.
If their biggest fear is that he's going to turn into Ryback, it's ill-founded. I mean, we've seen in his entire career on the main roster it's very frustrating to me personally, because we've seen you far more than me, especially, you know, with your ability to kind of like be the beacon and the journalist that covers this stuff. Him and his wife have taken a lot of stuff from this company and have kept their mouths shut.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't gone out. They haven't complained. What was me? If anything, they're like, you don't know what you're talking about and you're crazy. We're perfectly fine. I don't care if it looks like my house is on fire. They did not set it. It is cool. And so they are in. They are absolutely in. They are all in with this company. And I have yet to see, other than a tank at WrestleMania, the company kind of reciprocate, other than when Vince decided he wanted to make Lana his next Sable.
All right, let's go to our next question. Vaughn from Canada says, Raw last night killed it. SmackDown tonight feels like a kid's variety show with a little wrestling thrown in. You think the writers would see the great reaction Raw got last night and follow suit? Guess not. Why are they beating those cheesy kid show graphics to the ground? It's awful. It is. I mean, it's strange that the same company that put on Raw last night is sticking to their guns on SmackDown. Very early in voting. I mean, there's more two on a 1 to 5 scale. We got people choosing 1 and 2. Nobody choosing 4 and 5 for their score on a 1 to 5 scale. It was the opposite. It was flipped last night for Raw. It isn't just us. It isn't like this. There's just something about SmackDown lately that just is so not necessary. The things that they're doing to turn people off from SmackDown, part of them are so easy to fix, and that's just through subtraction. And then it's like we just talked about, taking advantage of Rusev as a hot act while you can. And I mean, they have New Day who aren't doing anything. They have the Usos who are sort of doing stuff for a couple weeks and then they're off TV. You got Shinsuke freaking Nakamura and you're just doing a video with him, otherwise practically ignoring him. It's not, you got Mojo Rawley who had momentum and now he's off TV. Yeah, Ty Dillinger, who they have done almost nothing with. Like, it's not that there isn't more talent there. And then, you know, they bring Ziggler back, and it's just the flattest return you can imagine after somebody's been away for 2 months. It's just a terribly booked show right now. I mean, it's hard to think this isn't, like, being tanked on purpose. I mean, that's how amazingly, it's not like Thunder bad, but like Jinder just standing out there, and he died out there. It was awful. And Shane and Brian just, they, I mean, even when they're going through the motions, it's like Shane is having a hard time, and Brian is too, because he wears his emotions on his sleeve. They're having a hard time getting into this anymore. I mean, I think they sort of feel like this is a month past the expiration date too. And I don't know how they can watch this show and not just fix it. It doesn't seem that hard to just fix, like, after what worked with Raw last week, by next week, can we get things back on track? Can you pick up the pace of the show, start taking advantage of the talent that you have? And, yeah, I mean, I know they're kind of stuck with a fast lane lineup that they have, and we haven't talked about the women's division yet, but I think that's more neutral than helping or hurting at this point. Rich, any reaction to that little editorial?
Yeah, I think the weirdest thing to me about the whole thing is I looked at Raw last night, and I looked at the insets and the passion that each loser had as they were getting their post-game, post-match interview. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I could have in the back of my head is I thought this was going to be on the show with the guys who wrestle. And that's no offense to the Raw roster, but yeah. I saw the SmackDown roster as you had Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. That's where how you get those guys where you feel like some of them might not have the quote unquote personality. They'd be big people. If you give them an opportunity to be earnest and have an interviewer that like Renee Young or even now Charlie Caruso that can kind of evoke the emotions out of the person you need to get the point across, I figured those guys would be great. Even a Rusev, same thing. But instead, we're getting all the yucky yuck Monday Night Raw stuff I thought we'd get on Mondays, on Tuesdays, and it's Freaky Friday, and it's freaking me out. And, you know, I look at Brian James, and he has the eternal dude from Big Lebowski. Well, that's just your opinion, man, whenever someone dares to say that things need to be shaken up. And I don't know how they fix this, because the other problem, we talked about it a little bit in the first segment, is – I'm looking down the pipe. We have a better Shawn Michaels replacement and Johnny Gargano for Dolph. We have a better big man and a Drew McIntyre than a Corbin waiting in the wings. And, oh, if you want to go with the we're trying to get to India crowd, they'd sign the master of the Shira Shake, who might not be a better promo, but at least has something that you can hang his hat on that won't numb me into existence like Jinder's promos have.
All right. Another email along similar lines here. Let's see. Hello, Wade and guests. Greetings from sunny Miami. I have a question I don't think WWE has bothered to ask themselves. Currently on SmackDown, Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan are embroiled in the most passive-aggressive feud ever in the history of wrestling, and as a result are making obviously questionable booking decisions. In a vacuum, it'd be an interesting story. But does WWE realize that we, the fans, have to then watch the nonsensical matches they book? Thanks for all the great content. It helps work go by fast. Everyone, go VIP. Passive-aggressive is a good way to describe this, but like to me, sometimes passive-aggressive has a little like energy to it. It's yes, it's a passive aggressive energy, but there's you can tell like passive aggressiveness. Cause in Minnesota, we know all about this. You have a point like you're trying to make. And to me, it just feels like Shane and Brian are just giving up. Like, well, you know, it's just like they're saying the lines, but they're somewhere else. And it's part of what's hurting this. I mean, I know we're almost repeating ourselves now, but I mean, the emails reflect there's people who want, and you just talked about it. There are things about SmackDown we should be loving right now. And for a while it was a hot brand and it's just being driven into the ditch.
It's really sad that you have all of this talent and everyone, they look like they're all in a divorce where they're just waiting for the house to sell and they can leave each other alone. That's it.
Yeah.
They're staring across the table at each other and they're just looking at that clock, waiting for the lawyer to call and say the house is sold.
Yeah.
And
it is. It does have that vibe. It does. Well, I'm going to throw to you on the spot. Two or three things that you would do between now and either Fastlane or WrestleMania that are feasible, that are like you could imagine they could do it, and it's not asking too much. It's not too much down the road of fantasy booking where you blow everything up. But what are some things they could just do to spark things? Two or three ideas that come to mind.
No more 6-woman tags. You have to have a reason for all 6 women to be on television without them being together in a match. That's the first thing, because that's getting old quick. Even with the factions, it's just it makes no sense to me. The second thing would be giving an opportunity for people to have sit down interviews, but not like the end sets they did Monday. Just sit down and talk to them, similar to what they do on NXT, UFC, heck, WWE used to once upon a time. and give us a reason why this person's fighting for the title. Give us a reason why Shinsuke Nakamura left Japan to come to face AJ Styles. Sell us on that journey.
Yep.
And the third thing would be, give me an announcing crew that isn't going to belittle each other and work a little bit more together, because they're not Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon. They're not Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura. And I've grown tired of hearing the bicker because it's more noise. Yeah. And the last thing they need is noise.
Javier also adds, by the way, F pancakes. I'm officially over New Day. Thanks, Javier. Yeah. Okay. Let me speaking of announcers, it's like we planned this. Javier in his comment and then your comment about announcing. Corey Graves at the beginning of the New Day match, or near the beginning, said, let's say you've never seen sports entertainment before. And of course, when he says that, I'm like, ah, and then I recover, but still. He says, what must people think when they see a New Day parading around in bright colors, throwing pancakes at each other? Who do you think is the real true representative of a champion? So it's a setup, you know, and then Byron says, just because it's fun to watch the New Day. And while they succeed on the side, having pancakes and having some laughs, what's wrong with that? I can hear Vince McMahon saying that. That's why it's called sports entertainment. And then Corey Graves goes, with a shrug, it's been the hallmark of New Day since they've been together. Now, again, you can get in trouble saying this stuff. You know, like I can, you know, see a different angle for people watching monitors on WWE TV for the first time ever. And it comes a week or two after I really harp on the fact that, hey, people sit and watch TV and we'll know they're watching TV, even if we don't see the front of the TV and their face at the same time. And then suddenly, for the first time in decades, they start doing it. So you can get in trouble like, oh, no, that's because of what I said. But people there listen. And I believe, because it was the first 20 minutes of the flagship episode last week on Podcast One with Bruce Mitchell talking about New Day. I don't know that conversation happens if it weren't for Bruce's column. Am I too close to the trees, Rich, or does that jump out to you as kind of a thing that wouldn't have been said if somebody wasn't being a little defensive about what Bruce wrote?
As a big fan of Bruce's work, no pun intended, though I really wish I had, so I could say that's the joke. I felt like they were one hard camera shot of them staring at the camera and then having, like, in parentheses, you know, I feel like they're at the point. It was so blatant to me that what you're saying is accurate.
Yeah.
I feel like when they were doing the closed captioning, it would have been stare at Bruce Mitchell intently.
So what you're listening to that, and I mean, did it jump out to you without me bringing it up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Especially the fact that they picked Byron to be the voice of, well, I don't know. They're just joshing around. I just think it's fun.
Yeah. What's wrong
Blink
with that?
Twice, Byron.
What's
Blink twice if you're under duress.
Yes.
Just once. If you're listening, Byron, when I watch next week, blink twice. We'll get help.
Yes.
We'll be okay.
I just watched a movie this weekend where everybody was it was kind of a horror thriller thing where on Netflix everybody was occupied. It was like brain surgery done at this kind of plantation like environment, and all the black people had been
Get Out.
Yes, Get Out. Yes. I just watched that this weekend, and it was totally like, you know, I expect Byron every once, like when he's on camera, just out of like if somebody flashes a camera at him, for him to just go, get out, and like yell at everybody else.
Just wait. We're going to see, like, they're going to cut the catering and there's like tea everywhere and caterers. Like, I thought these guys would drink. Why are there so many teacups?
So back to this. When Byron said, just because it's fun to watch New Day, having pancakes and having some laughs, what's wrong with that? That's why it's called sports entertainment. I swear, that had to be the quote that Vince McMahon said when someone brought up, we might be taking some heat here. Well, it's just sports entertainment. What's wrong with that? They're just having pancakes and some laughs. Like, just that's his defense. And Byron, yes, was the one who got to speak it. And then for Tom Phillips, actually, who then said with a shrug, it's been the hallmark of New Day since they've been together. You know, like as if that's a defense.
Yeah, well, they also said they either clap or they snap. And I remember that very distinctly. Oof. So I think they're well past snap. They're definitely in the sunken place for a little bit. But I think that would be a deep dive I do when I'm thoroughly prepared for the vitriol I get like Bruce did last week.
Yeah. You kind of want to have your ducks in a row and be ready to go when you tackle that issue. But there is a history to WWE that goes back many, many decades. And even without that, if it was your first time watching sports entertainment, you could be very offended if you know history, or at least tilt your head and go, really? They think this is okay? Yeah. But if you know the history of WWE and in a larger scope, you know the history of pro wrestling, it takes on a completely different context. This is not, you know, oh, nitpicking or seeing something that's not there. So,
well, Wade, we were 2 years ago. It was when they went to Philadelphia, and in the middle of the ring, Vince McMahon told his future top star, "You're a generation and a half away from having a bone in your nose."
Ooh, yes, yes. Progress, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, thanks, boss.
I know.
You're the one who put the bone in my uncle's nose.
I know. All right. We'll wrap up on that note. Thanks to Rich, first and foremost. Also, thanks to Brian Alston, our correspondent on site, our callers, and our emailers. I'll be by Thursday at Podcast One with a Thursday flagship edition of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast with Sean Radican, longtime Pro Wrestling Torch columnist. He's hosting the New Japan Roundtables. You do shows, Rich, with Sean on a semi-regular basis with him, talking New Japan and other topics. So Sean will be with me on the Thursday flagship this week. And then part three, the third and final part of the Nick Aldis interview, the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion, former TNA and Global Force Champion, and also the husband of Mickie James. We'll talk some Ronda Rousey. We'll talk about some TNA movement from Impact Wrestling to WWE, some of the recent names that made the jump with Nick Aldis, who has worked with some of them. And we'll also talk some more about his career in the NWA. So check out our other feed, the Blue Brand, Thursday and Friday coming up later this week. And Rich, you gave a good plug for the deep dive already, but talk about your role with the VIP East Coast cast.
Absolutely. So the free version is Cameron Hawkins and Travis Bryan. Cam was on last night with Wade, and I take over on the VIP tip with Travis, and it's not, as Travis says, it's not minivan friendly, so listener discretion's advised. Typically, we spend about an hour and a half to 3 hours, depending on whether or not I have work in the morning, because Travis somehow figured out how to get Thursdays off with his day job. I have not. So we talk about politics, wrestling, pop culture, comic books, movies, books we're reading together. You name it, there is no subject off the table. I usually wind up apologizing and saying the views of Travis Bryan do not reflect Wade Keller, Rich Fan, TDH Communications, all rights reserved. But it is all in good fun, and I think we've had a really good relationship over the last 2 years. So if you definitely want to do that, go to East Coast Cast. When you search on the dwtorch.com/VIP page, or if you're on iTunes, if you search for East Coast Cast, I believe that'll pop up. But Wade's a better arbiter of that than I am, so I'll defer to you.
Yes, search PW Torch for the East Coast Cast, and it should pop up. East Coast Cast will also work. And as a VIP member, we got a whole way to do separate feeds for all the different podcasts. If you want to have separate feeds on your phone for different groups or different individual shows, or you can do the catch-all feed and get all the shows and try to keep up. You just try to keep up with all the shows that are up there. Bruce Mitchell and I earlier tonight recorded his review of Raw for 42 minutes, Bruce's take on Raw. We do that every Tuesday now. That's a new feature in late 2017 into 2018 here. And also, as I mentioned, Making the List with Pat McNeil. That's ad-free and plug-free for VIP members, but available free for everybody if you search PW Torch. And coming up after I sign off on this, I'll be recording my start-to-finish review of SmackDown. So I'll be covering a lot of the other topics from SmackDown that we didn't get into, some of the little stuff, and a couple big topics that we didn't get into here on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. And I do that after Raw and SmackDown every week for VIP members. So if you missed the show or you just want to hear what I think of everything start to finish, I'll recap the show pretty thoroughly, but also comment along the way. And that's also a VIP exclusive. So much more. Go check out details. PWTorch.com/GoVIP. It is an amazing quantity and an amazing quality of content that you gain instant access to in terms of 30 years of archives plus new VIP exclusive content every day and this show without all the plugs, commercials, and ads. So it's just a win-win-win for everybody. Go check it out. Rich, thanks so much. We will talk to you very soon, and we'll hear from you later this week, too, on the VIP East Coast Cast.
Thanks for having me, and I always look forward to it.
Excellent. And thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you on the Thursday flagship over at Podcast One on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast later this week.